WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. Monster storms hit the Midwest. This truck driver in Nebraska says he's never seen a blizzard like the one they got.
Pretty scary. I've been driving 23, 24 years, and that's the first I ever thought I was going to actually roll over.
In Indiana, strong winds, hail, and tornadoes brought down power lines, ripped off roofs, and uprooted trees. This man lives in Highland.
I heard like very hard drops hitting the window. I grabbed my family and ran to the basement. I heard a loud screeching sound and kind of like a loud train coming at the house.
There are reports of damage and power outages in the Chicago area as well. The president will host a big executive order signing at the White House this afternoon as he tries to dismantle the Department of Education.
The administration likes to say that only 10% of total funding on average in school districts comes from the federal government through the Department of Ed. But it kind of masks how important these dollars are.
It still would require congressional approval. Sources with the Department of Homeland Security tell CBS News a Georgetown University researcher has been detained by immigration authorities over claims he's been spreading Hamas propaganda and promoting anti-Semitism. Reporter Nicole Skanga has details.
Badar Khan Suri, an Indian national, was teaching and studying at Georgetown University. According to a spokesperson, the school is not aware of him engaging in any illegal activity, and they've not yet received a reason for his detention.
More airstrikes in Gaza. Last night, more than 58 Palestinians were killed. The BBC's Yolan Nell is in Jerusalem.
We've had comments from Washington basically saying that a bridging proposal that it put forward last week was still on the table, at least for now. Hamas, of course, had rejected that proposal. It put forward its own proposal to extend the ceasefire, whereby a smaller number of hostages would be returned.
Charges for a Republican Minnesota state senator for an alleged attempt to solicit sex from a minor. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
The federal charges say the 40-year-old's arrest was after he began texting the girl who gave her age multiple times, with him saying, "What's a guy got to do to get with the hottest girl online tonight?" During his arrest, police say they found two cell phones, a condom, and cash. Eichhorn is married with four children.
If you stay up late, you have a higher risk of depression. That from researchers out of a new study out of the UK. They say it is likely due to poorer sleep quality and even higher alcohol consumption. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News, your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
The Brewers beat the White Sox. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a 5-4 win over the Chicago White Sox. Spring training wrapping up this weekend. Opening day a week from today when the crew opens the season in the Bronx against the New York Yankees. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers against Montana today in Denver. We'll have a recap after the game. Marquette is in Cleveland, where they'll face New Mexico tomorrow night, game time 6:25. How much will making it to the tournament for a fourth year in a row help the Golden Eagles? Head coach Shaka Smart.
I think a ton. Having been through the twists and turns of the NCAA tournament, I think both the wins that we've had and also the losses we've had taught us a lot of lessons, taught those guys a lot of lessons. When you get to the NCAA tournament, it does feel different. You know, there's a lot of different things around it. Being able to normalize that feeling and understand that we've been here before, it still comes down to trying to be the best version of yourselves as a team and individually out there on the court.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks. A couple weeks ago, I talked about the film The Gorge on Apple TV, and I referred to it as not a great movie, but a great streaming movie that you can watch at home. The same applies for the film Elevation. It's yet another post-apocalyptic film where giant insect-type creatures emerge from the middle of the earth and wipe out 95% of the population, leaving only those who live in the mountains above 8,000 feet due to the fact that the creatures cannot survive at that altitude. The film is well cast, well acted, and has some pretty harrowing moments as star Anthony Mackie has to descend below 8,000 feet in search of inhalers for his son who has asthma. Not a bad watch, and I do recommend. For those of you eagerly awaiting season 4 of Ted Lasso, if your favorite character was Lasso's son Henry, you'll be disappointed to know that the show will recast the role played by Gus Turner, who played the role for 3 seasons. On the bright side, if you're an actor and can pull off playing a 12-year-old, this could be your big breakthrough. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. We'll get to the upper 30s for a high this afternoon, with wind northwest switching to the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to the mid-20s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy. Some afternoon sprinkles with a high in the upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome TV host and comedian Mike Toomey, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then magician Lou Lepore joins me in studio for some Houdini talk. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Thursday morning, March 20th. Nice to have you along. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here along with Greg Bogdan and Racine. And folks watching on social media might have noticed that our little ID slide is no longer the one of a snow-covered Lake Wissota, but is instead the one with some open water on it to mark the first day of spring and to mark that we didn't get a snowflake up here in Chippewa Falls. Things slid a little bit to the south. I was like, did this thing peter out entirely? The answer is no, it did not. And Brittany had just an adorable, delightful video of her reveling in the snow yesterday and so happy that it didn't miss her in the Wausau area. What'd you get out there?
Oh, I got 7 inches here into the Wausau area. I love every flake of it. I was so excited out there playing around. Like you said, I've got videos up. You know, it's just exciting. I love snow. It paints the landscape pretty, you guys. Now there's things to do in the colder weather, at least for now, because this is going to melt eventually.
Greg, can you hear the people that are swearing at her through the radio? Can you hear it? Because I feel like there's ones who have shoveled who would like to politely disagree. But this is there it is. We're just playing back some of the messages now.
One of them
now,
is me. So.
And Tony and Ashlyn writes that he's so jealous because they got no snow up there. But yeah, that band from La Crosse to Crivets, what was it, 5 to 9 inches by and large. So, and it's not going to hang around long, right?
Not too long. I mean, that was just punch one of two. We've got another storm setting its sights on the state again, and that looks to hit on Sunday, kind of rolling into Monday morning. So yeah, Northwoods, that one's headed your way, anywhere from Wausau to Ashland, where Tony is, all the way northeast and into the UP as well. So we'll keep tracking that one, but that looks to move in Saturday at midnight and then into our Sunday with a good chunk of more snow accumulations. Down south, it's going to stay rain for you. It's going to kind of look like this last system did, and it'll slowly start to switch over, but it won't go as far south this time. So what we're looking at in between now and then, well, Tomah is shoveling out 11.3 inches. Neillsville and Clark County is shoveling out 10 inches of snowfall, and it is a heavier, wetter kind, which it did, you know, put some lighter, fluffier snow on top of that as those temperatures dropped. So a little crisp this morning, 21 degrees into Manitowish Waters, all the way to 34 degrees until Milwaukee this morning. Still breezy along the lakeshore of Lake Michigan. Winds are still gusting up to 40 miles per hour there. Otherwise, further into the state, we're just looking at 15 to 20 mile per hour gusts at the moment. So we will hit the low 40s for highs today, especially in northwestern parts of the state. But where you got snow, if you have snow on the ground, you're going to be cooler today in those mid to upper 30s. So the sun will shine. It is going to come back out by this afternoon. We will stay partly cloudy through tomorrow, but we do have chances of light rain in the afternoon, which could flip to a few flurries because a front is going to be pushing through. But everything is calm on Saturday before that next system arrives on Sunday.
On the text line from Tiffany in River Falls, I'm with you, Brittany. No snow in River Falls, and I'm sad.
See, so, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I got Tony. I got her.
Yep. Yep. It was difficult for some folks from Alicia. Side note on the weather, it was a tad trying on the way to Marinette. Yesterday was kind of funny. As soon as you got out of Rosendale, there was snow. It was almost like there was a barrier. Cassandra wrote in, my drive home is normally 35 minutes. It took me over an hour to get home last night, and I almost went off the road several times. Alicia saw that and responded, Cassandra, took me almost 3 hours to get home in Kimberly from Madison yesterday. Rob, of course, checks in from Tigerton to say good morning. It's cloudy and 25 degrees, 7.5 inches of snow there. I was out at 10 last night plowing and plowed overnight. The snow was very hard to push and it took time. But he says, yep, looks like another snowstorm for Sunday. Looks like they're coming in pairs. Highways 29 and 45 have slippery spots. Crews have been out plowing, salting, and sanding. But he also ends by saying, making money. Thank you, Brittany.
You're welcome. Thank you to all the plow trucks and everyone clearing the snow. My gosh, they bust their butts. They woke me up at 4 a.m. to do my parking lot, but I couldn't be mad because I knew that we needed it. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't want it otherwise. You know, no. Where it's like, okay, how am I getting out of here? So thankfully they're doing that. Do you do brackets? Do you fill out brackets for the NCAA tournament?
I do. I don't know what doing, but I do it.
That was me too during the commercial break just now. I went online and I'm like, all right, here's this. You know, naturally, of course, Wisconsin's going to win it all, right?
Right.
You know?
I think that's what I did last year.
I think I've got Green Bay going all the way for the women's tournament. So, chase a dream, right?
Exactly.
Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
That reminds us, talking about sports, that with the NCAA tournament starting today, the Badger men's basketball team is taking on Montana in the NCAA tournament. Coverage begins at 11:30 on Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Richland Center. Because it's the NCAA tournament, different rules apply, so you cannot hear these games on the Civic Media app. But if you are in the Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, or Richland Center areas, tune into this Civic Media station and get set to hear some Badger basketball in the NCAAs. Then, of course, there's the Marquette men's basketball team. They play tomorrow against 10-seed New Mexico. There are plenty of games going on in Milwaukee today as they host part of the first-round action. And the Milwaukee Bucks are in Los Angeles to take on the Lakers tonight. Badger women's hockey, they're in the National Final Four. That is tomorrow night, taking on the Minnesota Gophers. Early voting is going on right now. In-person absentee voting at your local town hall, city hall, whatever the case may be in your municipality. Head over to myvote.wi.gov. Folks watching on social media know that, yes, this is the official I voted sticker that's going that's on the shirt today, because we voted late yesterday with the state Supreme Court race, with the race for state superintendent of public instruction. There is a constitutional amendment referendum that would put in place some rules that would make it harder for some people to vote. Republicans are trying to rush that into the Constitution before, now that we have fair maps, they might lose their majority in the Wisconsin legislature. There are nearly 90 school referendums all around the state. Again, a crisis created by that same legislature. And there are all kinds of local offices out there. Here in Chippewa County, there are town board elections. You may find some city elections in your particular hometown. And you can find out what is exactly on your ballot now ahead of time so that you're not in the voting booth going, wait, I don't know who these people are. Head over to myvote.wi.gov. You put in your address, and it tells you exactly what is on the ballot for the ward that you're living in. And that gives you time to, you know, ask around and say, well, you know, who is this person running for school board? And, you know, in our case, you can vote up to three people on the school board. Well, do you know three of the candidates that are on there? So have a little heads up. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Take a look at that ballot and get yourself informed before you head in to go vote. It's not often that I pretty much repeat in the 6 a.m. hour what I say in the 7 a.m. hour, because I know a lot of people, if you're going to listen through a two-hour radio show, I don't want to be too terribly redundant, and I appreciate it. Folks that don't listen in the whole time can always catch the 6 a.m. hour by heading over to civicmedia.us. You can go to the shows page, and from there, you can listen back to any of the shows, any of the past episodes, past hours. You know, the 6 a.m. hour gets posted right away. But I did want to come back and revisit some topics that I mentioned yesterday because of the way that they just they really struck me. And we're going to start with Derek Van Orden and the reward now that he's getting for being one of the first members of Congress to call for the impeachment of a federal judge. Back on February 20th, Derek Van Orden put out a tweet, because that's how he prefers to talk to his constituents rather than holding a town hall, and he called for the impeachment of federal judge Paul Engelmeyer. He wrote, "The time for judicial activism is over. The American people gave Donald Trump a mandate, and no politician disguised as a jurist will interfere with it." It's not really interfering with it to insist that presidents follow the rule of law. And that's what Judge Engelmeyer was doing when he put the hold on Elon Musk and his minions to not get access to the database of the United States Treasury, which processes trillions of dollars in payments every year. I mean, imagine Derek Van Orden's reaction if it were President Biden saying, "I'm bringing in a team from the outside. They've not been vetted. They're not government employees. They don't get to see secret information, but I'm going to let them see the secret information in the Treasury database." Derek Van Orden would be calling for impeachment or indictment or imprisonment, but because it's Donald Trump and Elon Musk, when a judge tried to stop him, he now called for the judge's impeachment. Since that time, other members of Congress have done the same thing. The president has done the same thing, calling for the impeachment of federal judges. Elon Musk has taken note. And there was a story that I first saw in the New York Times last night that Elon Musk, the world's richest man, has made the maximum allowable donation to the Republican members of Congress who have come out in support of impeaching federal judges who are standing up to President Donald Trump. Now, those limits are paltry by the standards of Elon Musk, $6,600. But at $6,600 that a congressional candidate or a congressional representative doesn't have to raise on their own. It's fewer phone calls that they have to make. And yes, Derek Van Orden was one of those who got the maximum allowable donation from the world's richest man for wanting to impeach a federal judge who wanted to stop unelected people from seeing private data in the United States Treasury database. This all makes Derek Van Orden unique in his betrayal of the Constitution, and he has now received his 30 pieces of silver for that betrayal. It is what has made Derek Van Orden an ongoing embarrassment, or to borrow his word, a clown. And so he's got the money now for betraying the Constitution that he had once said he would be loyal to. But we all now know what he got in return, and perhaps that will affect how he is welcomed the next time he has a town hall, if he ever has a town hall. More coming up after this. You're up north.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, Bull Falls Radio.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Washington State implemented their universal vote-by-mail system in 2013 and built in signature matching for identity verification. A March ruling by the state Supreme Court upholds that rule as constitutional because voters can cure discrepancies. Before the 2022 midterms, a state-commissioned audit found that younger voters, voters of color, and non-English speakers were far more likely to have their ballots rejected, and the rate of rejection varied by county. Two recent lawsuits challenged the signature matching rule, claiming that the lack of handwriting standards and the inconsistent science for signature verification resulted in the rejection of 4,500 Hispanic ballots in the 2020 primary and 36,000 ballots from all voters in the 2022 midterms. In the court's recent opinion, Justice Stephen C. Gonzalez acknowledged those rejections. All too many ballots are not counted because election workers cannot verify the voter's signatures and the voter does not or cannot cure their ballot in time. But the court found no bias, evidence of partisan malfeasance, or that voters were intentionally blocked from voting. It also found counties offered opportunities to cure those ballots. The state's auditor recommended more training for county election officials, outreach to the most affected voter groups to prevent discrepancies, and more valuable advice for any state verifying signatures. We'll have more on that in our next report. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
It wasn't in today's history lesson, but worth noting that coming up on Saturday, George Benson will be turning 82 years old. We have our history lesson every weekday morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. There are so many ways that any one of us would reform politics if we could. One of them, of course, that we talk about all the time is getting big money out of politics. Not letting billionaires buy Supreme Court races is only the most recent example. There's another reform nobody talks about that I would certainly make very early on if I could. And that would be to change the races for county sheriffs in Wisconsin and to make those races nonpartisan. Now, the reasons why some local, usually county offices, are partisan dates way back to the old patronage system, when you had party bosses and they helped people run for district attorney or sheriff or things like that. Judges are now on nonpartisan ballots, and the sooner we can do that with sheriffs, the better, because there are few things to me as unseemly as county sheriffs who are supposed to be trusted to represent, protect, and serve all the people in their county, getting down in the mud during political campaigns. And the most recent example of that I saw on TV last night while watching the Grand Ole Opry celebration was Kenosha County Sheriff David Zorner, engaged in just flat-out mudslinging over the Supreme Court race and talking about liberal Judge Susan Crawford and being soft on crime and calling her the worst. I think that ad reflected much more on Sheriff Zorner than it did on Susan Crawford. And I would love to see something like that changed. He was latching on to a case that Brad Schimmel and conservatives are hoping sticks. And as we know, in any Supreme Court race, there is this rush to grab any decision from an otherwise fairly unblemished record and try to make, you know, something out of it that indicates, well, that's how they act on every particular case. So I've been asked by folks, well, why doesn't Judge Crawford talk about that particular case? And she was asked about it in the debate. And I would also like to point everybody's attention to Wisconsin Watch, the investigative journalist site, wisconsinwatch.org, where Tom Kircher has a write-up on the claims that have been made about the candidates and the facts. And for example, he looks into the one that says, did Judge Crawford sentence a child sex offender to 4 years after the prosecutor requested 10 years. And that's the case. And Judge Crawford said as much. And then she told why. So forgive the somewhat graphic details here, but let's talk about this race and the claims being made. 5 years ago, Judge Crawford sentenced a man to 4 years in prison, 6 years of probation, so 10 years total, after the prosecutor requested 10 years in prison, 5 years of probation. And then, of course, the defense only wanted probation. The man was charged with inappropriately touching a six-year-old girl in a swimming pool in 2010, and then twice touching a girl in that same pool 8 years later. Now, Judge Crawford said, according to Wisconsin Watch, that the crimes occurring 8 years apart still made the man a repeat offender, which required prison, but were less serious than many of the other sexual assaults that come through her court and all the other courts out there, and that 10 years in prison was longer than what was needed for rehabilitation. And it gets back to that whole notion of what are prison sentences for? Because there are people who would say, in all sincerity, oh, it shouldn't be 10 years, it should be 20 years for inappropriately touching a child. Can we execute them? And a more civil society says, okay, what is the appropriate time in prison for this? Where is the rehabilitation? What is the risk of reoffending? Every judge has to balance these cases out and come to a term that if they went along with what the, you know, the most extreme public opinion wants, we'd still have so many, we could not possibly build enough prisons if we take the rehabilitation out of it. And there are groups dedicated to pointing out the many, many people who have turned their lives around and made something of themselves. You're never going to get recidivism down to 0%. And if that's your rationale for doing nothing but building prisons and warehousing people, well, good luck raising the money for that. By the most part, in society, we look for what is the right amount in each case that is before you. And that is what Judge Crawford did. So to have a sheriff paste that as somehow soft on crime is disingenuous and just frankly unseemly. But if you look at the actual record of both candidates, rather than cherry-picking a court case, I think Judge Crawford is on the right track to look at what Brad Schimmel actually did as Attorney General during Scott Walker's second term in office, when Brad Schimmel waited some 2 years to begin a testing regimen for the backlog of rape kits because he did not want to approach the Republican-controlled legislature to ask for more money to begin processing those kits. He and his team were looking outside of the state for grant money where they can get it. And again, to be fair to Brad Schimmel, eventually the money was raised. Eventually the backlog was addressed. But to just let that backlog sit for 2 years while you look for alternative funding in the name of being, you know, fiscally conservative doesn't do the potential victims of all those sexual assaults any favors whatsoever. So that, in my mind, is fair criticism. Is it fair criticism to grab this one case from Judge Crawford? You bring it up. I think it's fair to bring it up. I think it's fair to ask Judge Crawford about it. And she was. And she responded in much the same vein as what I just repeated back from Wisconsin Watch. The facts of the case are there. So when you weigh that one case versus Brad Schimmel's record, and then listen to what they stand for, and then listen to or pay attention to who is funding them, for example, the world's richest man, Elon Musk, backing Brad Schimmel, when Elon Musk has a corporate case that could come up before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, it might inform voters a little bit more come April 1st. And again, early voting is underway for that right now for the Supreme Court race and everything else on the April 1st ballot. To learn more, head over to myvote.wi.gov. We'll talk to a couple of state legislators coming up right after this on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Tonight, UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin, as well as dairy industry leaders, taking a closer look at what the Dairy Innovation Hub has done not only for Wisconsin dairy, but dairy beyond our borders. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. Tonight, they'll gather together with other industry leaders in Baraboo to focus in on the Dairy Innovation Hub and how it's helped Wisconsin's $52.8 billion dairy industry. One of those that will be there involved in the conversation is the Dairy Innovation Hub's faculty director, Matt Ruark.
I think we've had a lot of successes. You know, I think a lot of it is sort of building that research capacity, and every research area has sort of a different timeline before things get out and impact people in the real world. But we've had a lot of things, especially around technology, that we've invested in. That includes online trainings, apps, software programs that help, like, you know, the gamification of agriculture during training of and farm training that have been put out in the past years to have that sort of, if we want to highlight something that's had an immediate impact.
Matt Ruark, he is the faculty advisor for the Dairy Innovation Hub. Now, that Dairy Innovation Hub is funded by the state of Wisconsin at a rate of $7.8 million annually. It leverages research and development across UW-Madison, UW-Platteville, and UW-River Falls. The event is free and open to the general public tonight at the Baraboo Arts Center in Baraboo from 6 until 8 p.m. We've got registration details up at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 63 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for April 1st through the 3rd at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit WisconsinPublicService.com.
Wisconsin's still lagging behind Minnesota when it comes to signing up people to become rainfall reporters this year. National Weather Service encouraging you to get involved. Go to WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org and find details. That's a look at food news on a Thursday. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. We'll get to the upper 30s for a high this afternoon, with wind northwest switching to the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to the mid-20s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy. Some afternoon sprinkles with a high in the upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. The chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler, joins us to talk about the April 1st election and more. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
only got so much time in every history lesson, so sometimes we get things that spill over. And it was on this week in 1974 that the Eagles released their third studio album, On the Border, with singles like that one, Already Gone, as well as Best of My Love and James Dean. Let's see. There was one text I didn't pass along earlier. I wish I had, but Dave from New Berlin, thank you for listening. We talked about Fred Rogers being born on this day, and he says, I'd bet 2 years of paychecks that Fred Rogers never, ever swore. Thoughts? The thoughts are really short, Dave. I think you're 100% right. Everything that I could find on my Google machine indicates that Fred Rogers was, yes, that was not a TV act. He was that genuinely wholesome, and I'm sure you never heard a nasty word come out of his mouth. The same cannot be said for my next guest, State Senator Jeff Smith, my brother from another mother. We've had enough conversations where, you know, an untoward word may have slipped out, but not on this particular program, because this is on the radio and we're well behaved that way. Jeff Smith, how are you?
Well, Pat, maybe it's more information than people need to know.
But, well, yeah, at least about me. Come to think of it, I don't know that I've ever heard a crossword from you.
These days, Pat, there's a crossword passes over my lips too often.
Yes. Well, that takes us to what's happening in the state capital these days. And we'll get to that in just a second. How are things on the farm up there in the town of Brunswick in Eau Claire County?
We seem to be getting by. You know, like everyone else, we're just treading water.
Mm-hmm. What all is on the farm there these days? What do you have?
We're paring down, okay. Not to my wife's despair, because I say we're not adding any more animals. So lose some. We want a bill of travel. Horses.
What did you have dogs. At the most? You had horses. We've had
at the same time. We've had llamas. We've had cows, deer. I should say horses, goats, chickens. We have a lot of chickens. We're adding to the chickens. I hate to say, but nowadays we're the ones carrying the eggs.
When you got to get the eggs, you got to get the eggs. Jeff's claim to fame in doing parades as a legislator and as a candidate has been usually somewhere in the back of the parade with a broom and a pail, because he knows a thing or two about cleaning up, shall we say, political manure as well as the animal type. And it's something you have to deal with. You have real life experience dealing with what you hear in the Capitol now.
I do. I come behind with a shovel and a wheelbarrow behind the horses on the parade. And I often say, Pat, to people before I speak, is I start my day cleaning the stalls at home, and it gets me quite ready for the rest of the day.
Yes. So we'll take care of some of the business in the legislature in a second. But there was one ceremonial thing that happened this week, so I thought I would ask your thoughts on it. Every year, there is a State of the State address. There is the governor's budget address. But there is also the State of the Tribes address. And this week, it was delivered by Thomas Fowler, the chair of the St. Croix Chippewa. And it was a very nice address. I recorded it. I've been meaning to pull some snippets out of it to share on the show and on Up North News. I was especially struck by the part about wanting to change the rule back so that tribal members can wear their tribal regalia at graduation ceremonies. But there was also a lot said about, you know, protecting our natural resources, being respectful of tribal sovereignty, things like that. And you've been to more than a couple of these over the years, and just wanted to get your impression on the importance of having an address like that every year.
You know, Thomas did a great job. It was one of the best I've heard in the years that I've been. And it's one of my favorite days, by the way. I happen to be on the Tribal Relations Committee. And that bill you just mentioned, it is a bill, actually, to allow them to wear the tribal regalia for the graduations. That's something that we passed unanimously. Republicans and Democrats were both on that committee. We're only just representative of the legislature. There's a number of every tribal nation is represented on that as well. And a few other bills. But what was unfortunate in this in this address was the couple of times, especially one time that really jumped out at me was we cannot afford to repeat history. And when it comes to destroying our environment and things like that, and we stood on and gave him a standing ovation on that, and not a person on the other side of the aisle stood for that. It's gotten so political. It's really, really sad.
It is. And I mean, the most recent example of that comes to mind for me is the dispute with the Lac de Flambeau and the town of Lac de Flambeau adjoining it. And again, respect for treaty rights and easements and land ownership. And it is one that I have said the Bureau of Indian Affairs is well overdue in trying to find a negotiated solution to that. So it was, in my mind, not helpful in any way, shape, or form that the Trump administration decided to close up some BIA offices, including the one in Ashland. It just makes everybody's job that much tougher to engage in public service and avoid the very confrontations that Chairman Fowler was talking about.
Oh, you're exactly right. He did mention the latest oil spill in line 6 recently, we're very fortunate. We have been very fortunate over the years. I told him that later, that we're very fortunate that the tribes have been the ones that we've had to lean on and depend on to stand up for keeping our environment and our water clean and fighting back with us. And yeah, Bill, you're absolutely right, because what are they trying to do here? Well, we know what they're trying to do, is to take away the rights that not only the tribes have, but all of us have for a good, clean environment.
Yeah, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm just going to make the observation that it was interesting to see the chairman making his remarks, and sitting behind him was the president of the Senate, Mary Falskowski, who the Lac de Flambeau went so far as to ban her from the reservation for some incendiary remarks. So it would be nice of the Senate president to maybe lead the way in having cooler heads prevail on matters like that. Let's turn to the more routine matters of the legislature at this point, and that, of course, would be the state budget. As you know, most folks don't follow the legislature. The overview is that there's a state budget that comes up every 2 years. The state has a $4 billion surplus, or it doesn't if you count how much the Republican-led legislature has underfunded schools over the past 15 years or so. But Republicans are insisting on tax cuts before they talk about any other kinds of investments or spending. The Joint Finance Committee yesterday, I believe, announced its public hearings. It always goes on the road and gets public input in these day-long public hearings. And there are two in early April, two in late April. They will be in Kaukauna, West Allis, Hayward, and Wausau, which basically means, the southwestern half of the state is not exactly represented by these. I know they're tough to schedule. I know they're day-long events, Jeff, but you and I have sat through Joint Finance Committee hearings when they've been in the Chippewa Valley, and it is as it is as basic and grassroots as it gets, where legislators have to listen to regular folks from all over the state say, these should be the priorities in the state budget. These should be the investments you make in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Pat, even when you were with us here in the legislature, I think we had 6 hearings. Yes. On joint finance across the state to give people even more opportunity to be sure we hit every corner of the state. And it feels like it's become more of a dog and pony to them. They don't particularly follow any of the recommendations made by the public. And it's, I'm always embarrassed, actually, that people will wait for hours. This is not an exaggeration, and hours they'll sit and wait for their moment to be able to speak. And at the front end of these hearings, the Republicans will line up their lobbyists that they trust and WMC and others, and give them as much time as they want to speak, and then limit the public to 2 minutes each as they sit for hours waiting for their chance. And then to think that they've done that and then feel like they haven't been heard. So I say that at the same time, I encourage people to be there and pack those gymnasiums and other places wherever they show up, because it is really important that they also feel the pressure from the public.
Yeah, and not in any kind of a disrespectful way. Again, I've been to enough of these to know that people will literally sit there and wait hours for their chance to speak for only 2 minutes, and they're almost always interrupted, you know, by one of the Republican co-chairs at that point. But I'm glad you brought up what happens at the front end, because I don't think that happens enough where it's mentioned. And it is also in the topic of minor political reforms that nobody talks about that I would make. And one of them would be showing respect to your constituents and not front loading these public hearings. And it doesn't just happen in joint finance. It happens in regular committee meetings of all sorts, where they will front load the testimony of lobbyists and other allies literally for hours before they let the general public have their little 2-minute speaking slots. And it's just so incredibly wrong. But again, it's such an inside baseball thing that they're not made to really feel any sense of shame about it. But I appreciate you bringing that.
Makes them feel like they're second class citizens.
Yeah.
When in fact, many times they're the people that they front load with don't even live in Wisconsin.
No, that's the thing. It's all special interests to them. In the short time that I've left you here, we've been talking about the budget. Are there other things that you either are specifically looking to put into the budget or non-budget bills that you're working on? Any other high priorities you want to talk about quickly?
We get a ton of requests, as you know, Pat, and we do the best we can. And what I honestly tell people is that, well, you need to help me find a Republican to take the lead on your request, because that's the only way the Joint Finance Committee is going to hear. But this morning, as a matter of fact, when I'm done here, I'm going to be going to the Capitol with Fran Hong. We're going to be addressing the press and introducing our resolution for economic justice, Bill of Rights. So it includes, you know, a living wage, accessible child care, ability for collective bargaining, affordable, high quality health care, environmental and healthy, sustainable environment and healthy planet, affordable housing, transportation, broadband, and access to capital investments and financial institutions, retirement, an equitable justice system, participation in community and civic life, which we just talked about, and a life of self-determination and freedom from the oppressions that we are currently seeing happening.
Well, and I'm glad this being introduced. Obviously, it's not going to go anywhere in a Republican-controlled legislature, but part of why we set up this show was far too often there would be proposals made by members of the legislature that local media would either play down or just outright ignore because, well, it's not going to pass anyway. Well, you're not doing your listeners or your readers or your viewers any favors, because they deserve to hear everything that's being proposed out there and say, hey, maybe that's not going to pass, but that's a pretty good idea. That might inform, you know, how active they are next time around, maybe who they vote for and things like that. So, yeah, even though it's not something that's going to pass, it's important to introduce. And I'm glad that you did. I'm glad that you talked about it for a bit, and appreciate you spending a little time with us. Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire County town of Brunswick. Always good to see you, my friend. Thank you.
Always
very much.
Here for you, Pat. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a great hot beef at Ray's as soon as we can here.
All right. Thanks.
Down to Water Street. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Coming up next, it's Thursday. Well, that means Luke Mathers is going to be here. So stick around for that right after this. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, sign up for that newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. Back in a bit.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau, every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Did you know there's a city in Wisconsin that goes all in on the idea of celebrating St. Patrick's Day for more than a week? Members of the Shamrock Club of New London, about an hour west of Green Bay, lead the festivities, which brings thousands of visitors to the area. But do you know what has officially kicked it all off for more than 40 years? Here's club member Ryan Lanning with the answer.
The Monday of our St. Patrick's week is we always have Leprechaun Day, and the leprechauns are responsible for changing the population signs symbolically from New London to New Dublin, and then they visit various schools and nursing homes, and we bring smiles more than anything, and we like to enlighten our community. That's part of what we're about, and truthfully, I think everybody looks forward to seeing us, seeing the green suits and all the mischief and shenanigans that we like to pull. It's just a great time for everybody.
Even the city council votes to make New Dublin the official name for New London this time of year. That is one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
This is Breezin' from George Benson. There's a pause there. Here it comes. Wait, where'd it go? There it is.
Oh, my God. Guys, shut up for just no. We're not talking. We're just listening to this whole song. Nobody talk.
Coming up next, Fuzzy Zeller is about to putt for birdie here on the Augusta National. Let's take a look at that leaderboard right now, where Luke Mathers sits on top right now and joins us live from his lair in Sunny P. Mr. Mathers, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Sometimes you want to engage with the comment section and bring it onto the radio. Another time you're like, no, let's just leave.
Pat,
leave
are people talking out of their tushy again?
That might be one way to put it. Luke, you're gonna have to remind me. Last week, did we already know that there was gonna be another Wisconsin contestant on Top Chef? We talked about that last week, God. Didn't we?
We did not.
Or did it happen since then?
No, I believe when the season first got announced a few months back, I mentioned it then.
Poor Greg, he's already checked out.
Oh, I am actually since I got a little away for spring training last weekend, I'm behind on Top Chef, so I have not got a chance to see the season premiere from last week. So I'm gonna probably watch both episodes this evening, and we can avoid the word for Greg's
with a Wisconsin chef testant. Yes, Mr. Bach.
I can give you a recap of both episodes. Okay, so first there's like all those like smash cuts of like all the beautiful scenery, and then they cook stuff, and then roll credits. There you go.
Somebody goes home, but it's in Canada this year, so it is.
They have to have made poutine by now.
What Canadian superstars show up? I'm betting Rush. One or both surviving members of Rush are going to be on an episode.
Okay, that's a good guess. I'm gonna guess that either
Ryan Reynolds,
Robin, or Alan Thicke will probably be there.
Well, Alan's not.
Be. Never mind. Yeah, you're right. Never mind.
I can pretty much guarantee that if he shows up, that's maybe on a different channel. You know,
I'm gonna guess
Haunted Kitchens,
a bare naked lady, or four bare naked ladies.
Some
that would be the group.
Some
no, I don't think so, because they have nary a sense of humor about anything. They're not good. They try so hard to be like up with the you know, making fun of Nickelback, but you can tell when people do, they try to participate and it just hurts
them.
Doesn't
work.
Nope.
Maybe some Ryan Reynolds or
that's a
little
big
Justin
get.
Bieber. Yeah, those are both big gets, but those are Canadians.
Yep.
I don't know if either of them are foodies. If either of them are foodies, they might be interested in going.
The Wisconsin contestant's name, I know her name is Kat. And this on the text line from Jules listening in the Wausau area. There are a lot of strong contestants, and she is not one of them. Sorry. So I said that like a Canadian.
Why
sorry.
Are you writing this spoiler alert? Come on.
Now, Kat didn't
Turner.
Say, didn't say she got it. Cut. Just said she's not one of the stronger contestants.
Her name is
Kat
Turner.
Yes. Look, we have to admit that Dan Jacobs, during his season, he had some not great weeks.
Yeah, even
though he finished second, he was far again. It's one of those things where he was overall one of the strongest, but there were a couple of weeks where I thought, "Oh, you're not going to make it, buddy."
Yeah, that is the case. It is definitely a competition of endurance. Like you have to be able to hit your stride at the right time, and so it might be a little too early, Jules, to be predicting who's going to be in the finals. But it is one of those things where you got to be excellent, but you got to be excellent all the time, and so you got to hit your stride right.
Is Michael Bublé from Canada?
Yes.
Tony's putting it up on YouTube. How about Mr. Bublé?
I absolutely would put money that he will show up there. I think.
Whereas Alicia's like, I think Greg is ready to end the show now. Yes, we know. And he's playing along very nicely for us here.
Yeah.
Yes.
I see Mr. Bublé showing up. I'll put some money
on
him.
Who's the Crosby? He's Canadian, right?
David Crosby?
He's dead, too.
Sidney Crosby, the hockey player.
Oh, Sidney.
Oh, Crosby. Yeah. Mason Crosby. No, that's a kicker.
That's a player. No, that's Sidney. Sidney Crosby.
Sidney. Yeah. Sidney. I'm sure it's gonna be chock full of amazing Canadian superstars and legends and people we've never heard of.
Drake.
Ugh. No, thank you.
Let's make the switch from food to sports here because Mr. Mathers is sporting his Brewers cap. And the season begins a week from today. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. It was really exciting to get to spring training, Pat. You and I both crossing that item off the bucket list. We're going to have to start a GoFundMe so that Greg can... folks, if you want to send Greg to spring training next year, send in a donation, too.
Two things. I have offered to go to spring training for Civic Media to do work. Like, I would legit do work. I would cover things. I would interview. I would do whatever you wanted. Nothing. Also, I said to Luke, I said, oh, I didn't know you were going. I would have asked you to get me a spring training hat. Your response was, buy one at Kohl's. That's where
I got
mine.
Mine at Kohl's, yeah. But mine, it's this awesome one. There's a little cactus on it, and it's got the spring training with the state of Arizona on the back. And I picked it up from Kohl's.
There you go.
So I had it with me before I went.
I think I really want to go next year. The only problem is I take a vacation in January, and it's very hard to make that, you know. So it's going to have to be like a Friday afternoon to Sunday type of thing because I don't want to take too much time off and leave people in the lurch.
It's a quick turnaround, but you could definitely – it's right in downtown Phoenix, which is really nice, and it was easy to get to, and I highly recommend for folks who haven't had the opportunity yet. Great spring training. Very exciting to see the crew this season.
Oh, and one more. Jules again on the text line. Dan Levy.
Yeah,
Dan Levy would be excellent on there.
I could definitely see – Dan. I can see the Levy family on there. I can see all three of them on there, definitely.
Yeah. Yep.
For sure.
And Tony writes on Ashland that he would join the trip to provide social media support for Greg's tour.
There we go.
So, Greg, we're making plans already. It's going to be great.
The crew beat the Guardians, Tony's Guardians, on Sunday.
And you can hear them on our newest affiliate, newest Brewers affiliate, up north in Hayward.
WBZH.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Mathers. Appreciate it. Greg Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air, and we appreciate you being here for Up North News Radio. Again, note the sticker. I voted early. You can go do the same. MyVote.WO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Trump's Agriculture Department continues to axe food programs to the tune of over $1 billion and counting. Plus, Nancy Pelosi says, don't give away anything for nothing. What did Chuck Schumer get us? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Barry Mack, you were supposed to be on the show about 3 weeks ago, but I got really sick. Like I slept on a mattress that you might have driven to the dump.
Still like last time, I am actively smuggling in mattresses from Minnesota because they recycle them for free.
You should probably keep that on the download.
Well, yeah, but how am I going to get any business unless I start talking about it, Pete?
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is set to sign an executive order this afternoon, fulfilling a campaign promise to eliminate the Education Department. Josh Cowan is with the Education Law Center.
My view is this thing is mostly just a press release. The real gutting of the Department of Education began a few weeks ago when Trump began the layoff process for more than half the department staff.
A longtime alleged L.A. gang leader is facing federal charges for running a mafia-like criminal enterprise that he fronted as a charity. Acting U.S. Attorney Joseph McNally says Eugene Henley Jr. posed as a savvy businessman and community leader.
The facts alleged in the complaint paint a very different picture. It is one of a murderer, a thief, a liar.
Israeli strikes overnight killed at least 85 Palestinians. The BBC's Yolan Nell.
European and Arab countries have called on Israel to stop its strikes and allow desperately needed aid back into Gaza.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.